right, what is good, y'all? We got another episode of King's Landing coming your way. You already know what it is. It's your boy, Jared King. Follow me on Twitter at @_TheKing_. Go ahead and follow my brother at KingHead57 on Twitter and Instagram. And shouts out to the fam at the Barber's Chair Network. Go ahead and follow them on Twitter and IG at the Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Barber's Chair Network Patreon at patreon.com/barberschairnetwork. And visit the bcnet.com. We are 1 month away from the NFL draft, the, you know, premier offseason event of any sporting event going on, in my opinion. And so we are bringing on a couple guests. First guest that we got on, we're going to have on Eric Robinson today. You can follow him. Well, I'll let him introduce himself here in a second. But, you know, we're going to jump into it, probably touch on a little, you know, we got some news with Desmond Ridder. We got a new signing today, but, you know, mostly going to focus on the defense. We're going to jump right into it. Eric, go ahead and hop on. Let the people know who you are, where to find you.
Yeah, Eric Robinson. Find me at @Eric_Robinson on Twitter. Former Falcoholic writer, currently at ESPN right now. Not really doing a whole lot outside of that. That's pretty much it, man.
Bet. So, but yeah, I mean, follow Eric. He's probably had, you probably had what, 20 spaces in the past couple weeks.
Man, I've been bored, man. And part of it is because I got some itchy palms right now as far as doing my own podcast. So I kind of sort of like just use the spaces as a way of getting my feet wet a little bit when it comes to that particular matter. But yeah, just hosted one yesterday. It was pretty cool, man. Just come on whenever I host one, just hop on in and just talk some football, man. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, no, I love it.
I won't tolerate the slander though. I kick you out the space in a heartbeat. Like I'll with that. If you want to talk football, let's chop it up and talk football. I ain't trolling and stuff.
A little bit of snark, but not too much.
yeah, a little bit.
So, but yeah, no. I mean, I love it. I love Falcons Twitter. You know, we like one big family.
One big family, man. Everybody knows, man.
Man. Not like every family. We're a dysfunctional family.
You're right about that. Yeah, absolutely. Dysfunctional as hell, man. God, dog. We argue about everything. About everything. But what we won't tolerate is anybody on the outside talking about the Falcons. That's what we want.
Yeah, it's like family.
Yeah, you get jumped at that point. And it's your problem. So it is what it is then.
So... But yeah, no, I already know we get into the defense, you know, defensive prospects we like, but you know, we got a little news today. Arthur Smith finally coming out, making Desmond Ridder the starting quarterback. What's y'all thoughts on that? I'll follow up. What's your thoughts on it?
Go ahead.
I was gonna say it's already understood. Ain't got to be said, like Spitter say.
Right. I figured this offseason it was either. When it came to the quarterback position, it was going to be either go big or go Ridder. And I was okay with either side. Didn't matter. As long as there was a plan either way, whichever one. And obviously the plan here is to ride with Ridder and you know, provide solid pieces around him, which is only fair. And his kids only had 4 games last year to get it, you know, to get his feet wet in his rookie year to learn the game and for anybody that watches enough football, 4 games for a quarterback is not enough when it comes to gauging his ability, his overall ability. So I said, if you're gonna start him and you're gonna roll with him in 2023, give him a fair shot, give him some talent around him. Let's see what he can do. And if he doesn't do anything in this year, then we know who he is at this point. But give the kid a fair shot. I think he earned that.
I really think it was a PR move as well because, you know, if you've been paying attention to the moves that the Falcons have been making, it's obvious. And if you pay attention to the cap, it's obvious that, right. You know, this was, hey, we are not signing Lamar. So keep it pushing, y'all. Media, keep it pushing. Leave us out of this. Don't bring us back into this. We've already made our splash signings in free agency. We're not bringing in Lamar. So y'all can keep it pushing. Send him to Indianapolis or to Minnesota, wherever he's going to end up. Ridder's our quarterback, period. I think he got tired of it. I think he's at a point where he's like, all right, enough of this. As a head coach, let me put it into this now. And let me name Ridder the starter.
I will say this. I do think there was genuine interest. But I think over the last month and a half or so, I think it kind of wavered a little bit, especially when you saw how it played out publicly. And, you know, especially at this point where, you know, Baltimore slapping that any tag on them. And, you know, we're still at a point right now, almost a month after that, that, you know, things are falling apart there. I think there was genuine interest, but for them to come out and like you said, make that move now, declare that now, plant that flag now is important for Ridder, is important for the fan base, and it's important for the offense going forward. So I'm all with it.
Yeah, no, I mean that's a good point. Like, there's no way they weren't interested. But it's like it's another one of those things. I mean, I've talked about it on Twitter a couple times. It's like, you know, these GMs all know each other. Like, just because a report don't come out that, oh, the Falcons talked to the Ravens, don't mean they didn't talk to them. Right. I mean, I can call you up, right? Yeah, like nobody knows we're recording right now. Like, they'll know once the recording drops. But, you know, they can have a phone conversation like, look, what's the deal? And it's like, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence. Harbaugh came out and was like, 200% Lamar's going to be a Raven. All right, cool. I mean, I just stay out the way. Like, I go run my team. Like, yeah. So, and it's like comparing it to the Deshaun Watson situation. He was leaving Houston. He was out. He was getting traded. Yeah. That was very clear. And so he was on the market. Lamar was never on the market. He's still not on the market. And the way it's going, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens call his bluff and say, all right, you're just going to have to sit out all of 23. Like, we're not going to do anything. I could see that happening before they trade him.
I do think it's playing out exactly the way I thought it would. Like, this relationship is falling apart at the seams, man. And it's weird to see it from a Ravens organization that's been tight-knit. Yep. You know, they usually don't have these type of situations with contract negotiations, especially with quarterback. So it's interesting to see it fall apart there. But, you know, the Falcons made their decision, and that's the direction that they want to go. And I think it's a solid direction overall. I think Desmond Ridder was a solid quarterback coming out of class last year. I think he was the best quarterback coming out last year. I was a little surprised that he fell to the third. I never really bought him being a first-round guy, but seeing him drop to the third was a mild surprise for me. But I think he's got the tools. He's a sharp quarterback in terms of football IQ. Like, I can definitely see him being a coach at the end of his career.
Yeah.
So like a QB coach or QB guru or something like that at the end of his career. He is not exceptional at one thing, but he does a lot of things good. And, you know, he's one of those quarterbacks that's not necessarily going to lose you games. But if he plays steady and plays to his skill set, he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that's not going to make a ton of mistakes.
Yeah.
And I gave him a Dak Prescott ceiling when he came out, but I'm saying Dak Prescott in terms of the type of quarterback that he can be without the turnovers. We've seen it when it comes to Dak at times that Dak has that turnover issue and it's becoming an issue, but that wasn't a problem for Ridder at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And it's a testament that the kid started all 4 years. That's
exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think Ridder got the whole class sucks. So if you're a part of this class, you're going to suck too. And it's like, you know, just because it wasn't a Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow or, you know, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, don't mean the class suck. Like, Kenny Pickett went in the first. I don't think he should have gone in the first. I mean, I'm not taking a 25-year-old quarterback in the first round. That's just who I am. I mean, unless you're Joe Burrow. And I think that Ridder got penalized for it. It's like the kid was a winner. You know, he made Cincy
relevant.
Relevant. Yeah, it's like Cincy was decent. Like, you know, Travis Kelce was there. I think they went to like the Liberty Bowl or something like that. Like typically like 7-8 win team. They weren't college football playoff good. And he didn't even get any, you know, plus for that. Like he drove that offense. Like he made that team good. It's like, yeah, you know, he went and got beat. He got beat. Lost to UGA in the what was it, the season opener?
That was the Peach Bowl.
Junior, yeah, right. Yeah, the Peach Bowl.
But he played pretty well that game. He didn't look out of sorts or anything. It was the same thing with Alabama. It was
a
clear deficiency in talent all around.
Exactly. Like his two good games, you saw the difference in talent level for the team. Like you playing Bama, and it's like the best player he got on offense is Alec Pierce, maybe. I mean, you know, he's doing the best he can with what he's got, but that don't take away from who he is as a coach. I'm not taking Stetson Bennett over Desmond Ridder. I mean, let's be real about it. Like, Brock Purdy made Iowa State relevant, and saw what he went and did at San Francisco. I mean, you put players like that where it's like they may be limited, but the sum of their parts, like you said, it's like if I call this play and I'm expecting this range of outcomes with a quarterback like that, it's like, all right, the range of outcomes is a pretty tight range of outcomes versus Mariota, you never knew what the hell you were getting. So,
and then, you know, going back to piggybacking on off of Desmond Ridder being a graduating senior, I don't know if he graduated, but a senior, and undefeated at home, that means something. I don't care if he doesn't have the highlight tape that Lamar has or not. Like, he's a winner, and people want to underestimate the importance of processing. That's number one. If you're the quarterback, number one, the reason Dak Prescott is making these interceptions is because bad process. So if you surround the game manager, if that's what you want to call him, and put him in a position to manage the game and not lose you the game with 4 or 5 speed, he's not going to lose you the game. And we got a running team. So hand the ball off. That's easy. And I can work off the play action. I can design something around Ridder and the tools that he has to offer to keep the ball rolling down the field. I don't need 27 yards on this play. Give me 8. And now you're at 2nd and 2, not knowing what to do. Matt used to have us 3rd and long, and we're like, all right, 3rd and 9, 2nd and 9. It's like, you're not about to run for 9, Matt. I mean, you might get it one time, but you're on your 30. So, he's going to keep the ball rolling down the field. And I think if we – even bringing in Bates, even if the team wants to lean on the secondary, you can still lean on your defense and still have a game manager like Desmond Ridder matriculate the ball down the field. And that's all you need. And you have a kicker, special teams. This is a team game, so you have to be able to utilize your resources to the best of your ability.
This kid can win games, man. He's not going to be at the elite level. He's not going to be at that Mahomes, that Josh Allen level. But he's, again, I don't know. I don't think I ever saw him lose a game for Cincinnati during his time there. Yeah. And I saw his senior year. He walked into South Bend his senior year and got a road win in Notre Dame when no one expected him to do so. And those little things matter. He's not afraid of the moment. You know, he's been in the spotlight before. And he's a guy that I feel like if you want to label him a game manager, that's cool. But I think he's a very polished game manager. He's a game manager that's really going to make the right throws at the right time, the right plays. And you saw it a little bit last year, man. He trusted Drake. You can tell that they built a relationship. He trusted Drake, and Drake made plays at the end of the year, those last 4 games. And
come on, E-Rob, it was against backups, man. It was against
They on the field. It don't matter. They on the field. It don't matter. Hey, he made plays against Marlon Humphrey.
Hey, look, I'm with you. I just love the backlash. It's like
cold, right?
In the cold.
If Desmond Ridder wouldn't have made those plays, those same people downplaying what he did do would have said, "See, that's why he sucks." So,
yeah,
I'm with you. I mean, he got dealt a rough start in his first start in New Orleans on the road. We've seen Matt look shook.
Put him in the fire. That's perfect.
They were down. They were down a score in the fourth quarter. They could have
in the fourth.
They could have won that game. They could have won that game.
He was driving them. Drake London don't fumble, and Ritter was not shook.
If Drake doesn't fumble, I think they win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think they win that game.
But yeah, no. I'm with you. And then, you know, let's thoughts on Scotty Miller. Thoughts on Scotty Miller.
They need a deep threat. He runs a 4.36. I'm good with it. There's not much I need from a wide receiver four in this offense.
Four. And that's not a fourth option either.
Yeah, I don't need much, especially when I know they're gonna run a ton of two tight end sets, especially when I know that the run game is going to be the heartbeat of the offense anyway. I don't need much from a guy like that. That checks that box. So anybody that want to sit here and complain about them getting Scotty Miller, that they're only going to ask him to do one thing in his offense, then whatever. You can complain all you want, but I'm fine with it. I don't need a big name for that particular role that I know he's going to do in his offense.
Yeah.
And he's familiar with the NFC South.
Yep. I'm good with it.
Yeah, it's like the Taylor Gabriel signing back in 16. Like, I remember we signed him, and people were like, he's little. Ooh. He's always scoring. Yeah. Like, I was like, y'all, bro, got Blaze. Like,
yeah, he could run, and you need him to do one thing because you're going to have a lot of stuff underneath. As long as he's able to have that safety play honest, that's all that matters. He's going to create space underneath for Drake and Pitts and Janu. Like, I ain't worried about that, man. I'll take that.
And he played with Tom Brady. You can't take that lightly.
Who trusted him?
So
who trusted him very often? Yes,
and he's a vet. That means we probably won't draft a small receiver like this.
If they do, it's probably going to be day three, early day three. Yeah. I think that Tyler Scott kid out of Cincinnati, who has a ton of familiarity with Ritter, is still on their radar. And I'll be okay with that one too, but. Miller was trusted a lot by Brady. And Miller, you go back, you know, during that time, he made some very big catches for the Bucs.
Yeah. And
especially in the postseason. Brady trusted him. So if Brady trusted him, why can't we? Like, that's
exactly. I promise in practice.
Right.
Okay. Somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, give me 4.3 speed. At that spot, in the same role as Akeem was just playing, basically. And you got Matt Collins. Like, I'm with it.
Zacchaeus, but let's be real. Zacchaeus ain't scaring nobody with his straight line speed. Mm-mm. Not like Scotty is.
Mm-mm. No.
Scotty makes you play honest. You got to play honest with them. So.
All right, let's jump in on this defense, man. You know, all right. Our caveat it, Football Outsiders gave us a very poor grade on our off-season moves. They gave us
they don't pay attention, right?
I mean,
it
goes
back to that. Exactly.
They didn't get Lamar.
They don't pay attention to the Falcons.
Come on, man. But I mean,
Vic 2.0. That's it.
I think part of it is.
I wouldn't mind seeing that myself. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to say it's a poor offseason because they didn't go that route. They still, right. I still like the haul. To me, the one thing about Fontenot, there's not one overpay. There's not one contract I've seen where it's like, yo, that's too much money.
He's making contracts like the Godfather.
Yeah, he's having giving out efficient deals, even with Jesse Bates. Like it doesn't kill the team. So
exactly.
Solid offseason to me. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And that's what he's been doing since he got here. So why would he deviate from that to sign Lamar? That's been my point.
I mean, that was one of the points they made. They were basically, I mean, their whole thought was, you know, and I quote, teams with quarterbacks on rookie contracts, especially third round rookie contracts, are supposed to go on spending sprees. So you're just, you know, you go sign. And, you know, we talked about this on the last episode, bro. It's like, you get a safety, a linebacker, and a D tackle. You spending money up the middle of the defense. And that's just not what analytics like. They like, go get the corner or get the edge rusher, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, but when that quarterback lines up, he see a 6'4", 300 pounds on Yamada. He sees Grady right there in the middle. I got Caden Ellis, wherever the hell he's going to line up. And as soon as I tap the ball, the first person I'm looking at is Jesse Bates.
He's going to see Eddie Goldman, too. So, I mean, that's more beef up the middle right there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a splashy offseason, but it didn't necessarily have to be. And this is a better team right now than it was a month and a half ago, for sure. They just need to check off a couple of extra boxes, but they can do that in the draft. Or there's still names out there available now. I mean, and these vets that are still available, they're getting cheaper by the day because nobody's crawling over other teams to get these guys. So I mean, it's a strategic move. I like their approach. You know, they're not necessarily out here just throwing money for the sake of throwing money. And I'm okay with that.
It's exciting.
They still got roughly $20 million in cap space right now, too.
So. And then doesn't Debo's contract rolls off next year?
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
How much money?
Yeah, they're probably going to have close to $100 million again next offseason.
$100 million.
Like, with only,
why am I rushing to spend that?
With only AJ up next in terms
that's
of
easy. Contract.
Yeah. So which they can likely get done during the season if they want to play it safe.
And squeeze it in here a little bit if you want. Yeah, I mean, it's just I think it's just one of those things where it's like you said, like the Lamar thing, but then also it's like they didn't go get a big name edge rusher, or they didn't get a big name. It's like the sexy positions where they're like, but it's like that's just not how the team, you already got CB1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ebiketti was good enough that it's like, all right, I'll just. Caden Ellis gave you sacks in a you know, small sample size, but it's like, yeah, if you extrapolate that, I'll roll that dice. I've got the number 8 pick. I mess around and get Tyree Wilson or Miles Murphy. Like,
pressure.
I'm not dead in the water with what I got left. But yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, it's just not sexy. Like, not to, you know, go back to the offense, but like, even the offense, like, the scheme is different. Like, they about to run something closer to the 2011 Patriots than, you know, the 2022 Chiefs or the 21 Bengals. And I think that's just where people are lost on how to adjust the Falcons, because it's like, you know, this defense gave up 21 points, what, once in the last 9 games? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's ball control. They weren't the best defense, but when the clock is running, the running game is running, quarterback ain't making mistakes, and you don't have enough time to score points.
And now you got to throw the ball.
Yeah.
You're going to throw the ball to try and extend the game, and so I'm going to play to that. And if I can play ball control, I'm going to keep every game close. The only game they got blown out was what, the Bengals game?
Yeah, they got lit up.
They kind of trimmed that down to a 2-score game in the second half, actually. Since it didn't necessarily, I mean, they got off to a hot start, but they didn't run away with it. It was 28-17 in the third.
Yeah.
So this is the when it comes, and this is where you also have to trust Ryan Nielsen as well.
Yep.
And his track record shows he's a guy that at the very least, he's going to have his fingerprints on the front seven, on the defense line at least. And we can sit here and we can make fun of, you know, their misses in the first round in terms of edge rusher in New Orleans, but no one can honestly sit here and say that every time we played the Saints, that defensive front gave us issues every single time, whether we won or not. That defensive front was a pain in the ass. Like, so when you add in, you bring over a guy like Onyemata, who teams with Grady there, you add a guy like Eddie Goldman, you know, that's beefing up the interior now. If they can somehow swing Calais Campbell, I'm not quite sure if they are. There's seems to be more suitors by the day now. But if they're able to swing Calais Campbell, that's another veteran right there that you can add to the mix that can play pretty much across the entire defensive line. They got a plan, and let's – fans need to just let this thing play out, man. Like, they just want to sign a whole defense now and have a defense wrapped and ready now. That's not how offseason works, man. Like, let them build. That's
and what getting back doing. To Calais, that little man, that Walter Payton on his chest means a lot as far as leadership in the locker room and showing these kids how to – we got a young team. You got to show these kids how to be winners.
That's why I was excited about his visit, not because of what he can do on the field, but because of what he can do in the locker room. Yeah. And how he can be a voice for it. He's played a lot of football. He's seen a lot of postseason. He's been in some very structured locker rooms in his career.
And the fact that he even came.
The fact that that somehow, some way they squeezed a visit out of Calais Campbell, who's played for 15 years and everybody knows is ring chasing right now, and he still took a visit to Atlanta.
Well, they know these birds running. We ready.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something. It's something the there. It's something there. But that's why getting him, you know, you're probably not going to see a ton of his effect on the field. It's probably going to be in the locker room, and that's what they need, honestly.
That's what they need. And in the organization.
Yeah.
You see that giant walking around, you like, bruh, who is this? Yeah.
Yeah.
You talk, you listen. Like a guy like Taquan Graham. It's like I love Grady. Like I don't bash Grady, and I don't mean this in no way, but it's like Grady ain't good enough to be like that kind of foundational piece. Just because the Falcons ain't won nothing. Like, it ain't his fault. But it's like when you're a young guy, it's like, all right, Grady, cool. But like a Calais, it's like if J.J. Watt walked in there. It's like he may be washed, but that's J.J. Watt, though. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And I think even the fact that, like you said, like they're getting entertained to even have a player like Casey Hayward, to have that kind of voice in the DB room, you know, changes the mentality. It's like now you add Jesse Bates to it, and it's like, all right, you know, second team All-Pro. I see him kind of like a Grady where it's like, you know, he not – you know, Ed Reed or nothing, but like the secondary is young enough where it's like, all right, we relate to you. We're going to build this thing together for a long time. And so if they can get another piece like that in the front seven, I'll take Calais every day, but.
Right.
And it speaks to their preferred type of front seven players. Like we're not going for 6'2", 240, 250 types no more.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, get
called. Yeah, man. Yeah.
The last
it's hard to be in the crowd talking about we ready and we live down the field. Just
they're trying to add some muscle to the defensive front.
Yeah, we getting size. We getting some big fellas. I'm loving it.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Trust me, fans gonna love it when those pockets start collapsing from the interior.
Oh yeah,
they gonna see it. They gonna be like, oh okay, I see what they're doing now. All
right, we talking about the fans. Don't be saying nothing. It's because we don't get sacks.
It's because we don't. Stop.
We don't get sacks
in the play right away. It's going down. We gonna be in there lit.
We lead the league in pressures and near sacks.
Yeah, almost.
But I'm ready. I'm ready to get some almost sacks. I'm ready to get some sacks.
Man, yeah.
So let's get those numbers up there.
Yeah, no, we talked about that in your spaces. It's like fans take on the identity of the defense. Like, you talk trash based on – you're not going to be able to do nothing today. Like, you can bring Mahomes in, but if Mahomes scored, you know, 15, 20 points, you talking big trash.
Got him tiptoeing on marble flows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot. Yeah.
You're not standing in no pocket delivering nothing. He's scared.
Right.
But, yeah, like, all right, give me a we're going to jump in. We're going to start – I'll start D-line. I'll start linebacker just because, in my opinion, I don't think they're going to draft a linebacker high. Like, if they take a linebacker, it'd probably be late. I think just looking at how the Saints ran their defense last year, it was Davis and Ellis, you know, when Ellis was playing his games. And so it's like if you run in Caden Ellis and Troy Anderson and they still got Michael Walker on the roster, I don't think they go linebacker early. So I think that's probably the quickest one to start with. So,
okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'll let y'all.
I think at this point, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if they bring back Rashawn Evans.
I hope so. We need a vet like that. We need somebody at the linebacker position.
I wouldn't be surprised.
The back end.
Yeah. And
at least we got Grady. Like, Grady's still there.
Yeah.
Them linebackers, them boys young and unproven.
They got potential. The combination of Anderson and Ellis is interesting to me. Those boys, those two, especially Anderson, you know, you're talking about a guy that's 6'3", 6'4", around 245. You know, he can move, man. And you saw it at times last year. You saw the athleticism that he showed playing offense at Montana State, playing quarterback and things of that nature at Montana State. I'm excited to see what Nielsen does with that as well. And I think Ellis was an interesting piece because I don't think he has one pure linebacker position, and they utilized him in that way last year. Because you go back to his tape last year, a lot of his rushes were interior on passing down. Like he was that he lined up as a mic, but then next thing you know, he's coming up the A on 3rd and 12.
Yeah.
And you're not expecting that. You see DeMario dropping back behind him. Like those little things, and I think Nielsen's probably going to incorporate them that way this year as well. But you're right. They still need a little some more additions to the room. And I wouldn't be surprised if Evans is brought back. But if they do, they do go that route, day three is probably going to be the likelihood. One guy that comes to mind that I know they were looking at him at the Shrine Bowl was Diabate out of Utah, Mahmoud Diabate. Another athletic, ranging linebacker that was also able to move around a lot at Utah. They didn't really have one strict position for him. He was just everywhere. A chess piece at linebacker. So that's one guy to keep an eye on. DeMarvion Overshown out of Texas is another guy to come to mind. Another guy on day three that they can add that has range, has athleticism, and can be a chess piece as well. He can see some time as a slot defender, honestly, because of his athleticism. He's a former safety. So, I'm with you on that. I think day three at linebacker is probably going to be, if they go that route, it's probably going to be in all likelihood there.
Yeah, that's what I think. I throw another one out. Look, going back to Cincy, Ivan Pace.
Yeah.
So, one of the fastest guys at the Senior Bowl. I think they just, they still gonna focus on speed, especially on the second level. But
yeah,
he had what, 10 sacks last year?
Yeah.
So kind of like that multi-dimensional hybrid defense where it's like, pressure's gonna come from wherever it's gonna come from. You just gotta be ready.
Right. I think at least the linebacker spot, they're going to just field linebackers. They're not going to really necessarily have a mic and a Will and a Sam.
Yeah.
They just going to put
what it feels like, too.
Yeah.
And I really hope they can produce that way. Because if you think about it, we don't have any high round linebackers
on the roster. Hold on, Eric. Brian is a Hall of Fame linebacker hailing out of Tuskegee University. So don't
you early on that one. It ain't happened yet. speaking promise.
Rings. I'm glad he don't have the rings on right now.
No. But I like Trenton Simpson, and I'm hoping that we just surprise people and pick him in at 44. He has a good game. He's fast. I don't know if he's. I mean, I haven't looked at the projections. But linebackers sometimes slide, and he looks like a Will.
And yeah, I think he's better. I'll take that.
He reminds me of Spoon a little bit.
Yeah, he's got a second round grade, late first round ceiling right now, and he can definitely be there at 44 if they choose to go that route. He's probably the most athletic linebacker in the draft. There's no question about that. He can scoop.
I'll go with that all day long. And he's at Clemson. He's not too far from the crib. I mean, from his college. Not sure where he's from originally, hometown, but we got a pipeline from Clemson. So
yeah.
You plug him in there at Will. You got coverage. You can send Caden Ellis, who was a seventh round pick, going back to what I was saying earlier. And you can send Troy. With that speed, you still got speed, and you got him manning up. You can man him up on the running back or the scat back.
Yeah.
And let Simpson just go.
I think the one thing that's going to stand out is the fact that you may not necessarily be able to identify who's the Mike corner to play with these linebackers here. And that's just a chess game that you're playing as a defensive coordinator. You don't know who to identify.
You ask me a quarterback to process the defense before. No, I'm not going to go there.
Bring it back.
It's all about deception, man. That's what it is. That's what it is in today's game. Man. You don't want to tip your hand as a defense. You want to, you want that quarterback to sit here and say, all right, who's coming? I don't know who's coming. I don't know who ain't coming. Who dropping back where? And I think with the three linebackers they got now, all three can be able to do that. Like
they can all Mike, Will, and Sam. All three of them.
Mike, Will, and Sam. Yeah, all three of them. So.
And we were hard on Michael Walker all season, but you know, for us it was like Dean Pease was using them wrong. Like Michael Walker's not the type that you give him the mic to, you know, let him call plays. Like he was thinking too much. He's got too much on his plate because with 2021, you know, he got the pick six against against Carolina. I'm like, do stuff like that. Like let him just kind of just play football. Like just let him just go out there and play and stop, you know, making him think. And I think, you know, if they give him that chance to go back to being that type of player, I could see him having a bounce back season.
And that's why that particular responsibility needs to be taken away from him and given to Troy Anderson, because Troy Anderson's played quarterback. So when it comes to pre-play diagnosis, he can handle that responsibility a little bit better than Michael Walker can.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I liked him coming out as well for that very reason.
Yeah.
He doesn't even need to see the full formation, and he's reading it. Straight out the huddle. He's reading personnel. He's like, okay, well, you want to run 12? Walker, go down there. Blitz.
He knows he knows what a quarterback is thinking sometimes. He's played the position. It makes sense to make an ex-quarterback be the quarterback of your defense.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
sound a dog.
Yeah.
Hey. All right. Now we can jump into the D-line. I like still keeping interior D lineman and edge together. I just like it like that. It's cleaner for me. I mean, I don't like. Okay. I know. Separate for, especially for our scheme. I mean, I think we're gonna have stick with the three down linemen, and then your edge is gonna be. I don't know if they're gonna go 3-4-5-2, 4-3 under. I don't know what it's gonna be, but I still think it's gonna be your three kind of I think it's still just going to be your three, especially when Ryan Nielsen made the comment in his press conference. He was talking about stopping the run with a light box. So it's like, all right, cool. You're going to go, Onyemata can eat doubles and split them. Taquan Graham already showed you that, like we talked about, Eddie Goldman's back, and then you got Grady. I think Grady's just going to be a, missionary type where it's like, all right, Grady, you go find, he's going to be like a baby Chris Jones. Find whoever's the softest O-lineman, and you just go beat him up for 60 minutes.
He's going to see a fair share of one-on-ones this year. I don't think he's going to be getting doubled as much as he did.
That's a problem.
All right.
That's a problem already. That's sacks. Automatic.
With his quickness, his short quickness, that's
– ain't nobody blocking Grady one-on-one.
Yeah.
You saw they were triple teaming. They were triple team Grady.
Yeah.
And Grady's like, bro, like, come on now.
Grady like, come on, man. Y'all ain't got nobody else
to block. Wide open, untouched.
He going to see less of that. I think he's going
to
see
that. So I'm thinking, but I mean, as I was digging in, just kind of like going back to the tight, like, I know we got our favorites, at the top end, like Tyree Wilson, Miles Murphy, hell, even throw Lucas Van Ness in there. What you got? What you got, Eric? I'm going to give it to you.
I will say this in terms of edge. Nolan Smith is getting some traction. I get it. I know. I get it. But there's some traction there.
It makes sense. I said it. I said it last episode. I know you may not like it, but it makes sense.
It does. But his name is getting spread around Falcon circles a little bit, man. So that's a name I would definitely keep an eye on. But I'm curious because if you go back, to Nielsen's time in New Orleans, the guys like Tyree Wilson and guys like Lucas Van Ness, they kind of sort of fit that Cam Jordan role, that Cam Jordan prototype, where they're not necessarily your traditional stand-up edge linebackers. And I'm wondering when it comes to Tyree, the one question I ask, well, Tyree and Van Ness, can they stand up full time? They saw it in spurts at their particular schools, but can they do it where, like, that's your primary role? Yeah. You're the stand-up, you're stand-up edge opposite Ebiketie. Tyrese 6'6", close to 280. The man got arms for days, okay? He probably can tap Ebiketie on the side of the helmet with his arms. Like he said, he's got length, man. And he, again, he plays... I see some Cam Jordan similarities in him. And same thing with Van Ness. Van Ness is 6'5", 6'6", around 270. Another guy that's just athletic, and he's going to try to run you over, man. He plays with pure power. But my question with those guys is, can they stand up full time? And if they can, if the defense believes that they can, I think they're on the radar right there in the first round as well.
Yeah,
because Ebiketie has Ebiketie is going. I think Ebiketie is going to be okay. He's not that far away from being a double digit sack guy. He's probably not going to break sack records, but I think he's going to have a career similar to Ngakoue. Actually, a guy that quietly is getting you 9-10 sacks a season.
Yeah.
You know, before you look at it, he's got a collection of 10 sack seasons. And I think Ebiketie is going to be right there. They need someone to play opposite of him. Let Malone be that third down edge rusher when you want to go to a NASCAR package. But yeah, those two guys are ones to keep an eye on. But like I said, Nolan Smith is probably he's getting some traction, man.
Go ahead, brother. What you gonna say?
If you don't know Nolan Smith, why you got Michael Walker?
The thing is, the team loves his character, his pedigree, what he brings as a
you know what character got us in the past, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Shout out 44, man.
I know. Part of me also wonders, man, if Nolan played at Missouri, would he even be considered? I'm not sure. I think
that's a valid because man.
because he got a G on the side of the helmet.
These Georgia fans gonna kill you, bro. Let's change the subject, man. All right, I'm gonna jump in. I'm gonna save you.
I'm not taking anything away from him as a prospect, man. He's a great prospect. Don't get me wrong. Now, his sack numbers were not there at Georgia.
You're a freak.
But you saw he's a freak athlete. You saw it. Mm-hmm. Now, eighth overall.
Yeah, that's rich.
That's very rich. Especially when Bijan is trickling down.
Don't get me started on we're not gonna go on Bijan.
Exactly.
We ain't gonna start with Bijan, okay? we gonna leave Bijan alone because Bijan. Man, look. If Bijan wants number zero now, since they let him go,
give it to him.
It's yours, bro.
Give it to him.
You can have it, Bijan.
We're going to have a Bijan episode post draft. Hey,
I want in on that.
But no, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, Brian didn't like, I take you back. He called it on Deion Jordan. You remember Deion Jordan was supposed to change the position, and he was like, I don't see nothing that y'all are seeing. He called it. So I defer. I mean, look, I'm like, I get it. And I get it with the traits and all that. But it's one of those things where it's like, you know, like when I turn on a corners tape and I watch it, I don't care what nobody's saying. I don't care what round he's projecting. You can see it. Like sometimes you can just see exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm deferring to my brother's hesitation on Nolan Smith, man. I mean, I get it. Like,
What's the one red flag for you? What's the one thing that stands out?
Oh, for me or for him?
For Brian. What's up?
He's not he has the athletic gifts.
Right.
He's not dominating the game like those numbers. Look, he's not using his hands and dominating tackles. I saw him dominate a tackle from, you might as well say he was playing against a D2 school and made a sack. And like his sacks, he's slipping. He's not getting upfield, ripping. engaging, you know, violent hands. He's slipping through tackles, or he's, you know, he's taking the upfield rush and making the pursuit tackle from the back end, where it's like, okay, you're supposed to make that. He's not. I don't see any moves. I don't see violent hands. I need violent hands when you're that fast and athletic, because that's when you can set up the speed rush.
Look, I played a little bit in the trenches in my heyday. Speed is one thing, but you got to come with the hands. You got to come with the hands every single time. I don't care if you're a speed rusher, if you're a power rusher, whatever. The hands is what's going to win you your battles.
You in a fight. He's throwing hands.
He's running.
He's slipping. He's not stopping no run, bro. Like, you get you an all-pro tackle, and we just going to – y'all like, want to spend number eight on him or like whatever? What are we going to draft him? We going to draft him. Is he going to fall to the second?
How you think he'll look against Trent Williams?
That's all I'm saying. Beat us in his face all day long.
Beasley beat Trent Williams.
Stop playing. Anyway, I know.
60-minute ball club.
I know Jared has seen me say he's seen and probably heard me say this a few times on Twitter, man. If I'm taking a guy, regardless of position, if I'm taking a guy within the top 10 or top 15 of the draft, I need to see plenty of evidence where he's either the best player on the field or he's dominating his matchup. I need to see plenty of evidence like that. You know, and like I said, regardless of position, you go back last year to Drake. You taking Drake that high, bro? There's games where ain't nobody can cover Drake.
I was convinced on Drake. What was it? The Oregon State game when he got hit and his helmet came off and that boy looked crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't have to watch nothing else. I said, cool. Yeah. I hate him thinking the time, but it's like he's crazy, and they had problems stopping him. So I'm with
nobody
you.
Can cover him. Nobody, and I've seen it. So if I'm taking the guy that high, that's one thing I haven't seen from Nolan Smith. I haven't seen a ton of evidence where he's literally like, yo, he's killing this tackle over here.
Weight room warrior.
Yeah. So that makes me hesitant. That makes me wonder, like, okay, when is it going to pop off? Like, when is he going to, especially at the edge rusher position? I need you at times. You got to be the best player on the field.
And it's like, it's cool because, like, you at UGA, so it's like, all right, Jordan Davis was there, Trayvon Walker was there, Jalen Carter was there. So it's like, okay, maybe you're not the best player because they're there, but he never even flashed close to just, like you said, dominating. Just like you said, like, it's cool to, like, slip, play in space, but I need you to put your paws on him.
You can say that with Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
You can say that. There's plenty of times.
Nobody was stopping Jordan Davis.
Ain't nobody stopping him. He's the best player on the field. You can say that. You can say that about Jalen Carter.
Yep.
There's plenty of games.
That's why he's tired. He
is clearly the best player on the field. I can't say that for Nolan. And to take him at eight?
Mm-mm. Please don't. Please don't do it.
I give you another. If
you want to trade down into the teams – and possibly entertain it then?
Yeah, but not at eight.
Not off combine numbers. Not off weight room warrior numbers.
I'm fine with Gonzalez.
All day long. But it's a reason why they're comparing Nolan Smith to Ebikon. Samson Ebikon. Exactly.
That's not a top eight pick.
No, not at all.
So I give you one. If we want to stay in Georgia and you want to roll the dice on a freak, give me Keon White at 44.
Ramblin' Wreck. He right here at the crib.
He ain't gotta go nowhere. He ain't in Athens. He in Atlanta.
Right across the street.
Keon's an interesting prospect, man. He killed the Senior Bowl, which is that's what the platform is there for.
Yeah.
That's what that opportunity is there for. Make your name for it. He brings some tools, but again, you're not talking about taking a guy at a premier spot on the, in the draft. You're talking about a guy that's probably going to be there at 44 that mm-hmm. you can roll the dice on. Now he's, I'm curious. So what is he not a three tech to you, Jared?
That all right. So I'll be honest. As every time I look at prospects and I look at the defense, I look at the roster, I have no clue how to judge, because I'm like, okay, I look at the secondary, I'm like, all right, we got Jesse Bates, we got Richie, I got Jalen Hawkins as my third safety, I got AJ on the outside, they haven't cut Casey's an outside only guy, so that's CB2.
Casey's probably going to be that, just to yeah. help guide along the new rookie corner, probably.
Yeah, and so it's like Casey's back, but then if Casey's back, are we going corner at eight? Even if you take – I love Gonzalez. Give me Gonzalez. Witherspoon makes me more nervous just because it ain't too many 5'11", 180 corners out there. But then you look at Pac-Man. I love Jair Alexander. Like, you got guys where it's like sometimes they just different. And you could put him, you know, in the nickel sometimes where it's like, all right, let him play outside, and then when you go three corners, let Casey come out there, or you get a big nickel, and Casey's just expensive vet presence. So I don't know on the back end, but then on the front, I just don't know the front. I mean, for me, Keon is one of those guys where it's like, all right, you know, if we go four down, cool, run it. Put him next to Goldman or Onyemata, and you got length and size on one side. But if you go three down linemen, he's standing up. I mean, you got clips of him running with running backs. So I don't know where you put him, but it's just one of those ones where it's like I would roll the dice on Ryan Nielsen having his pet project. We got Franks on offense. Give me Keon White.
Man, why you bringing that name up? He don't deserve a jersey. But anyway, we ain't even gonna get into that. The thing with Keon is, and it's the same question that I asked about Tyree and Van Ness, like, can they play full time? He's never played that. He's never played stand up.
And he's
at 290, that's.
I know. But like, when I look at the draft, like, at that point, you got EJ Ojulari and Isaiah Foskey.
I'd rather take Foskey. Honestly,
in my opinion. That's for Derek Hall. I mean, I think those are your three.
If they're taking Keon to specifically play opposite Ebiketie as a stand-up 3-4, I'll admit I'm nervous because he's never played
tight end at Old Dominion and transferred to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I'm very nervous. He's never played it. And that's a lot of responsibility to give to a guy that's never done it before.
Yeah.
You're asking him to control that edge full time.
I'm putting him at the five, and that's about it.
I'll put him at the five. Now, you drafting him to be a five tech? Oh, I'm with it.
That's it.
I'm with it.
I'll drop him in space to be a spy in the hole.
Yeah. If you want to do that, or if you want him to be your starting five tech, and then on third downs, you want to kick him inside even more to the three tech. Like, let's do it.
And roll a stunt.
Let's do it.
You'll bend around and make that long, you know, overarching sack.
Yeah. Oh, he go throw something. Like 6'5". He was throwing cats at the Senior Bowl. That's for damn sure. He was a bouncer. He was a bouncer at the Senior Bowl.
A tackle stunt.
Yeah, I'm with that. But if you drafting him to stand up,
mm-mm. Not at all.
All right,
hand in the dirt, sir. You are 6'5", 205.
Okay, I'll put it to you this way: if you're doing it, I need a vet starter in front of him. Then
you got him. If they're going three D linemen, your starting D line probably right now is Taquan Onyemata Grady.
Yep.
So if I'm taking Keon White, I'm just taking him to figure it out. Like, I'm just putting him on the field because of that mold where it's like, all right, I'm going to see if he can hang on the edge. He may not be no stand-up edge. Or if he's a stand-up, it's a third down, everybody standing tight. I need
him. And if he doesn't, what's your answer?
I got five tech debt. I need it. You saw bro, once Taquan went down.
You got
once
five tech went debt. Down,
we were yeah.
stuck. Well, get out of here.
if he doesn't do the primary role you asked him to do, then what's your answer?
I don't think it. No. I'm and Victor like Beasley. That's the thing. Like, if I'm taking him, it's literally off of trades. It's like Nolan Smith.
I understand that. But I think the likelihood I'll put it to you this way. He's going to have a learning curve.
Yeah.
Yes. Because he's so raw. Yeah. And he's so raw at just defensive line play, let alone
as that's a why I'm not, that's why I'm not pigeonholing him. I'm like, yeah, his size is one thing, but it's like I don't think he knows anything. So if you're taking him, no. it's literally
so he's probably gonna need two, he's probably gonna need 2 years to learn the position.
Yeah, I get it, regardless of whatever position. Yeah.
Which, to be honest, are fans patient for that?
No, not at all, bro.
I'm not even patient, not at all.
For a team that is in desperate need of sack production,
yeah,
are we patient enough for that?
Yeah,
Again, I'm with you if you take a veteran, if you bring in a guy like
Calais.
If you bring in a guy like that, or if you just bring in a veteran guy that can start in a pinch in front of him and help guide him along, I'm okay with it then.
Yeah.
If you roll into week one and your top three edges are Ebiketie, him, and Malone, and with Carter as four.
Cookbook.
Bring out the cookbook. That's how they ruin Jalen.
They're going to be good as hell. That secondary is going to be good as hell. All right? That secondary better be wonderful.
We're saying if he falls to 44, right?
Yeah,
if he falls 44. Eight is out of the picture. So that means if you throw Gonzalez over there, would you still draft him?
That's kind of my point.
I'm thinking, okay, if he just started, that means Gonzalez was the pick at eight, right?
Exactly.
That secondary better be good as hell.
Exactly.
Because I'm a little concerned.
I think
two of your first three picks are going to be corner D-line. And I don't know if it's D-line or edge.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like I get another guy, Zach Pickens, out of South Carolina.
I like Zach Pickens a lot.
I think he's going top 70. And so if they like him, he's the pick at 44. Yeah, like – so I think it's just stuff like that where it's like, because I don't have a good read on how they're going to treat the front, I don't know what kind of picks where they're going to like. If you stick a guy like Keon White at the five tech next to Ebiketie with Grady on the inside of him or Onyemata on the inside of him, where it's like, all right, now I got you ISO'd up in this situation on like a five-man front or something. Like, I'm just trying to think. I'm like, I don't know how they're going to treat the front.
I give you a name to keep an eye on. I can't pronounce his first name because I'm a butcher. But last name is Adebare.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Where he from?
Out of Northwestern.
Yes, sir.
6'6", 282.
A problem.
Ran a 4'4".
4'9".
A problem.
4'4"9 at the combine. 1.6 10-yard split.
Throw him in there.
If that's your pick at 44, I'm all right.
We rolling.
We cooking with fish. We rolling.
And y'all can be mad. Y'all fans can be mad because y'all don't know who this is.
You don't know who this is.
All day long.
That boy can move for a guy that's 282. That boy can move. And it shows up. I haven't watched a ton of his tape. But I've talked to guys who said that they've seen his speed translate on tape. And that's what I want to see. I'm gonna focus. I want to see if I see the bend as well. or if he's a guy that is just trying, if he's trying to, you know, bull rush, if he's trying to, it, can he convert that power, that speed to power ratio thing? Because, you know, for a guy his size, is not necessarily known. Like I've said, he's 6'6", 282. You don't know edge rushers that are that big that are able to convert speed to power and show bend. Yeah. If he shows it on tape, man, look, that's your pick.
They had a top 30 visit with him, so I can see it.
Yes, that's your pick.
So I'm with it.
He's just not a name because he played at Northwestern. That's why.
That's it.
Yeah. But if he played in the ACC or the SEC, he probably would be a first round pick.
Yeah.
Nolan Smith wouldn't be on the field. Oh, man. Bow, bow, bow.
I don't want to upset Georgia fans, man. But look, like, I get it. But this Adebare kid is like, in terms of athleticism, he's right there.
Yeah, freak.
He's right there with Nolan, and he right outweighs there. Nolan by almost 60 pounds.
Exactly. That's a problem. You got to deal with that for however long you got to deal with that.
Yeah. They're gonna ISO that man. Like that's the benefit of having Ryan Nielsen. Like he's going to get ISOs for these D linemen.
But he played hand in the dirt at Northwestern. Mm-hmm. But he played on the edge a considerable amount of his career. He was just more of your traditional 4-3 defensive end.
Yeah.
Add 15 pounds to that frame.
Man,
that's a problem.
Man, still moving?
And still moving.
Man,
come on.
I had to ask about his tenure because I saw the 40 speed. I saw the straight line speed. Of course, if you study plenty of defensive line stuff, the 40 is one thing. You don't care about that. You just care about the 10-yard split. How's the get-off? Mm-hmm. And if his get-off came in at 1.6 or sub 1.6, bro, come on, man.
Come on. Get off.
To be honest, Jared, I would roll the dice on him over Keon White.
Oh yeah. Oh no. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I was just giving you a Georgia versus Georgia Tech. If we're gonna stay in the crib. So
but I get it. We gotta take a Georgia guy every year.
We're gonna have to. Give me some DB love before I let you get up out of here. I know we got safety. Safety's pretty much wrapped up. CB1, CB2. I mean, I think if they go corner, it's gonna be decently early or they're gonna roll, but
We got to talk about Gonzalez. Gonzalez is an amazing corner. He's been compared to Patrick Surtain for a reason, and that's a perfect comparison. Devon Witherspoon doesn't have the size, but man, he's got the grit. He's got the grit that you real. Want. Yeah, he reminds me so much of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, man. Like he's like just that type of persona. Like he's gonna get in your face and he's gonna tell you you're about to get locked up. You're not gonna catch that.
And he's gonna do it, and he's gonna hit you.
And he's gonna do it, right? So, Joey Porter Jr. is another guy. Comes with size, comes with speed. I'm concerned a little bit about him when it comes to man-to-man coverage. He's probably better suited as a zone guy because of his length. He doesn't have a whole lot of ball production as well.
If they don't go corner at eight, where you looking?
If they don't go corner at eight, I don't think they leave the second round without a corner. Like, I expect a corner to be taken within the first two rounds. It's just a matter of where. Eli Ricks is a guy to keep an eye on in the second round.
Yes, I like Eli.
Keely Ringo, he's an option as well. Let's just go ahead and say it because I know Georgia fans. Because we got to meet the quota every year, man.
Like, we got to meet the quota. Every line in the pockets.
Like, we met the quota last year. We took two of them, and they still weren't
satisfied. They still weren't satisfied. They were like Prince's mama.
I was like...
the wrong one.
I was like, all right, whatever, man. But I'm trying to think other guys that come to mind. This is probably going to be a man-heavy defense. So that's why Christian Gonzalez is probably at the top of the board.
Yeah.
I think I can still trust I can still trust Joey Porter, the young Porter to travel with the two, with the second receiver.
And you don't think he's gonna be a little guard?
I travel AJ with number one and have Bates hang over Porter.
You don't think Porter can get a little grabby?
He can, but you know.
Which can be you could a good Jerry Gray can teach.
Yeah, you put some boxing gloves on him.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's
like the one you do in high school. Just put your hands behind your back and
yeah. That's the one. But that's the one thing that concerns me about him, though. It's just in man coverage, he has that tendency, and in some cases, he doesn't have to do it. He's athletic enough to stay in position, but he is one of those things where it's kind of sort of like when it came to Robert Alford. Like Robert Alford was such a great athlete that he became so grabby and handsy, and you're like, dude, you don't have to. You're in position most times. You're just panicking, and you don't need to. And I kind of sort of see that with Joey Porter. I see that with Keeley as well. Like, these guys are – they start pulling, and I'm like, bro, you're on his hip.
Yeah.
You may be 1 or 2 yards off him. Like, you don't have to do that, bro. It's okay.
Yeah. But, no, I see it. I mean, I love the corners. I've been looking at the these safeties, these box safeties, the hybrid guys.
Yeah.
I've probably turned on Antonio Johnson's tape many times to count. I mean, you 6'3". 200 plus, just him and David Robinson out of Florida State, they just hit. Like, and that's why I like Devon Witherspoon. It's just when you 5'11", 180 hitting, that's just not going to hold up versus I'm 6'2", 6'3", hit.
Yep.
Jamie's 5'11". I got to do his tape, actually, because I got to do some draft real stuff.
Yeah, he's 5'11".
I do his tape, but he's a stick, man. God,
yeah,
dog.
They got a peach by his name.
Yeah, another one.
Hitter, another man. Like, I think that's kind of where my, like, give me Gonzalez on the outside. Just, it's like, oh, he don't hit. I don't necessarily care. Like, AJ hits when he hits. Like,
he'll need AJ to hit.
That's the thing. I don't need my corners to hit. I want you to cover.
AJ got that Westlake in him.
Do not.
That's all it is, bro. That's that Westlake. You can't help it.
It'll I love jump out sometimes,
but you're not a hitter, dog. Like that ain't.
Hey man,
that ain't true, bro.
You eat two of these.
Yeah, man. That ain't true, bro. Just wrap up. That's all I need you to do.
Gonzalez
does that.
Gonzalez
doesn't throw. Gonzalez doesn't throw his shoulder if he doesn't need to. He'll make a prototype tackle. He'll wrap you up.
He went down.
Gonzalez, man, this dude can mirror anything. He can mirror anything. Big receiver, slot guy. He can mirror anything, man. He's such a great athlete, and all skills are there. And I remember you mentioning that a couple of times before, Jared, where this defense doesn't have that type of defender that when the ball is in the air, it's go get it.
It's his.
Yeah. Gonzalez has that. Gonzalez has that mentality. That ball is in the air. I'm in the vicinity. It may not even be thrown at my receiver, but I'm coming off my receiver to go get it.
Yep. The ball is up. It's fair game. I want it. Like, you put him and Jesse back there with that type of mentality. Richie's kind of like that. I just don't think it's, you know, come out yet. And then, you know.
Richie's definitely like that. I think him playing the Robert role is going to be better for him.
You know, I give you one more. Sidney Brown. Out of Illinois, he reminds me of what's my name? Hafanga Tava. Yeah, but a little bit more spicy. Like,
really? He's not. Physical.
I think he just. I don't know. I think
he's not. I didn't watch. All production is there though.
Yeah, like that's where I'm at. Where it's like he gonna go make a play on the ball and hit you. Like, he's going to come down in the box, make some plays. I like him deep. I don't know how much I like him in the box full time. But, like, he's one of those guys where it's like, if he falls because of size or because safeties fall, I'd take him just to put him in the room to stress out guys.
He's missed tackles.
Yeah. I think it's a size thing. I mean, he's got short arms. Just like Troy's missed tackles where it's like he's going to come up in there, but – you know, you get a right stiff arm on him, but it's also like the energy where it's like a guy like him on the field or a guy like him in the in the film room, like you can see he watches film. Like he knows the plays, he knows what he's looking at. Like I think you just need more players like that in the secondary where it's like, I ain't got a play, but here's this, I see it. And so when it's game day, like we just got players, we've had so long our secondary is just like line up, like, you know, shout out to Trufant. Trufant just lined up and was just like, all right, I mean, I got deep third. I don't know what the hell's going on anywhere else. And we don't have any instincts out there. And he's just one of those players where it's like, all right, you know, even if I'm just the third safety, I'm bringing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, like I said, that's the one thing that plays off the playmaking instincts that you see from Gonzalez. I saw plenty of times where he's coming off his receiver to go after the ball that's not even thrown, that's not even targeting his receiver, simply because that's just a playmaker in him. This defense can use that for sure. I think he's probably number one on the board for the Falcons right now at 8, Christian Gonzalez, of any defensive prospect.
Yeah, that's a complete secondary.
Yeah.
That is a complete secondary. You got two guys who can play man, two guys who can play any zone coverage. You got one of the best safeties in the league.
Yeah.
That's a lot of checkdowns.
Mm-hmm. But I know we're going to have another episode because Bijan Robinson is the wild card in the draft.
On the way.
Agent Zero.
It changes the whole mentality of this team.
I want Falcons fans to understand this now. Like, hear this now. He's in play, okay? It's not a fallacy. It's not just some guy just talking. No, they're looking at him. They're interested. It's in play.
Bijan.
Don't discount it. I swear to God, if Bijan is in the Falcons uniform, man.
What?
I know we gotta go,
but I'm gonna leave you the question. I'm gonna leave the doubters the question. If Bijan is on this offense, how do you defend this offense?
How sway?
We just gonna leave it at that. That's his cousin. He talking about his cousin. Y'all listen to the man.
How you gonna defend this offense? Please tell me. You gonna stack the box? Cool. One on ones with Drake and Pitts on the outside.
And he just added 4-3 Scotty. Like, it's like,
yeah, I got that. You gonna play
what,
zone?
What Cordero in our pocket? We can split Cordero out there.
I got run lanes everywhere. You know what? I'm gonna throw a monkey wrench in it. I'm a motion Bijan out to the slot and then motion Janu into the backfield.
Where he been? Ain't that what I told you? And run a toss. Just throw a toss just to Janu. Just cuz.
You know what?
Toss pass.
He flanked by Janu. Just running a good quarterback. And Cordero. He flanked by Janu and Cordero and Bijan in the slot. How are you going to defend that? Man, we can go.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. It's been another episode. This has been a special episode of King's Landing featuring your brother, Eric Robinson. Follow him @_Eric_Robinson. My brother, Jared King, @_3_The_King____The_King___ And follow your boy, King Head 57. I am Brian King, and this has been King's Landing. Thank you, fellas.
Thanks, brother.